Now, after Jesus was arrested, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God, saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." And Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee and saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, the sons of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him.
Thank you, members and friends of King of Peace MCC, for your amazing hospitality. So often we hold our senior leadership team or governing board meetings here and other meetings, and you're so gracious with your wonderful space. We always feel at home here. I always feel at home here. I'm always happy to be here, and I feel your strength and energy and joy. I want to thank you for being part of a new move in MCC and new church starts and helping us start our church in Cuba. Thank you for your financial and moral and prayer support. Pray for our new churches forming in Mississippi. Yes. Hattiesburg, Mississippi. And in Salt Lake City, Utah. So give them a big hand. We're also been so thrilled to welcome to our MCC Global staff your member, Lauren Bennett, who is now our General Conference Manager, Coordinator. We are proud to welcome Lauren to our staff, and we know that she's already off to a great start, and people are starting to register for conference. I hope you're doing that, and will join me for our 26th General Conference. At the time when I retire as moderator and we elect a new moderator, it'll be an amazing, powerful experience in one of the most beautiful places in the world, in Victoria, British Columbia. And so I also want today to welcome my mother, Barbara. Will you wave and stand and so people can see you? As soon as my mom heard I was coming here to preach, she said, "Oh, I want to go, because not just to hear me preach, but because she loves you and she always feels welcomed here and she has friends here." So that's a great thing. Will you pray with me? God, we bless you today. Whether it's for marriage equality or a new church in Mississippi or Cuba, for the growth of this church in this their 40th year, for the leadership of this church, for every member and friend, every newcomer today. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So indeed, happy 40th. Is it just so hard to believe? Except, of course, when you look at those pictures and the hairstyles and the the polyester and the everything else. You know, it's so interesting. 1975. You know, you think about how does time pass like that? Some of you were not born in 1975 in this room. A couple of us remember 1975 quite well. And but I want you to remember that for MCC, 1975, it was still a dangerous time. I want you to appreciate that this morning as we sit in comfort in this beautiful sanctuary. How many people, blood, sweat, and tears, carted trash out of this place? Some people long gone to their reward, who made it possible, you know. Think about that. How fortunate we are in this moment. That it was dangerous. That people did have to look over their shoulder driving into the parking lot and going into the church, and that they took for granted death threats and lots of other things just to say we were a church that welcomed all. Isn't that amazing? You know? And how many lives have been touched? How many sermons preached, funerals and memorials, weddings, holy unions? baptisms, how many people found love and hope and joy in this place. You know, Mark's gospel begins talking about time. He says that Jesus preached, along with John, the time is at hand. And for them, that meant that now is the time that really matters. You know, we have a wonderful legacy. You have a wonderful history and legacy. But today, now is the moment. Now is the hour of salvation, the Bible says. And I think about that gospel of Mark. Mark's gospel is action-packed. You know, in that very first chapter, Mark doesn't mess around at all. You know, by the end of the first chapter, John has already been arrested. The disciples have been called. Healing and miracles have begun to happen. And Jesus is already in trouble. All in the very first chapter of Mark. It gives you a tremendous sense of the immediacy of the fact that the time was at hand. It was now. We had the pleasure at the last general conference of hearing from a person of faith, Bob Johansson, whose whole organization and full-time job is looking at the future and predicting 10 years down what will happen. You know, the earth is billions of years old, human history tens of thousands of years old, but the most anyone can ever predict is 10 years ahead. Isn't that just fascinating and amazing to us? He talks about the future, the next 10 years, as volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous. And you only have to think about what's going on in the Middle East, or in Paris, or this year in Ferguson and New York and lots of other places to know we live in a volatile, uncertain, and complex world for sure. And it's a world in which many of us grew up in church, probably most of us in this room, but some of the church culture we grew up with is collapsing. More and more young adults are not sure that church is for them or even that God or faith is for them. And so Bob says, how does the church position itself for that coming future, for the people who need us now and will need us? He says many things, 10 of them, but I'm going to just share 3 shortly, and that's not even the points of my sermon, so it's a long introduction to a short sermon. So the first thing he says that any group, especially the church, has to do in order to meet the challenges of the next 10 years is something called rapid prototyping, which really means innovation. He says you have to fail in interesting ways. I love that. Fail in interesting ways. And you know how much we in the church love change, don't we? Oh, no, you're not. It's sort of like me going to the grocery store. You know, I just moved a couple of miles, downsized. Paul and I, you know, downsized, moved into a condo, and I'm going to a different Publix. Well, I'm very annoyed because things are not in the same place. I've been going there for weeks. There, you know, I still cannot find certain things. You know, they say, have you found everything you want? No! Where are the veggie hot dogs? They're not where they were in my last public store. I'm very annoyed. So sometimes as church people, we get a little annoyed. Come on, let's confess when things are new. We like things just like they were, you know. Our ideas, you know, we got welcomed. We liked it the way it was when we got there. So let's shut the door behind us and, you know, don't change for anyone else coming in. Second thing he says is, dilemma flipping. You know, you have problems that just persist and persist and persist. They don't seem to change. And he says, well, you know, sometimes you have to just stop trying to fix those problems and flip it around and change it to an advantage. And his great example I loved was their family vacations. Bob and his wife and 2 kids used to go on family vacations, you know, and all together and happy. But when his kids became teenagers, and with the stresses of both adults, parents working, he said, we could never make it work, and no one was ever happy when we tried to do it. So he said, we changed. We did a dilemma flipping. Each parent took one child on a vacation when we could schedule it, and we had more intense and wonderful time with that child. And he said, I think it really changed our family in wonderful and good ways. And he said we had to give up on that idea of the family vacation as it was and find different ways to be together. The other one that I love is he said it's important to have clarity about your vision and your mission, not certainty. Clarity is not certainty. We don't live in a world anymore that really affords us certainty, but we can have clarity. And I love that this church, that you have clarity about your visions as followers of Jesus. King of Peace MCC will be a community of radical welcome, passionate in celebrating the unlimited nature and power of God's love. I love words in that, like unlimited, passionate, radical. And I love your forward-looking future saying will be. It's both a sense of what we will be now, but also what we strive to be, that we are unfinished, that we are never done with that mission. One of the great theologians of the last 30 years or so died last week, Marcus Borg. I don't know if some of you know him, but he wrote a wonderful book called Meeting Jesus for the First Time. And he talked so much about a recasting and reframing of his whole understanding of Christianity, but especially Jesus. And I love his book, The Heart of Christianity. He quotes William Sloan Coffin, who said, God is defined by Jesus for Christians, but not confined. Don't you love that? God is defined by Jesus, but not confined. And he says, for Christians, Jesus is the heart of God. Revelation in a person, not primarily necessarily in a text, but it is the text that illuminates that person that God is. And one of my favorite theologians said, I often quote her, Georgia Harkness, who lived with a woman all her adult life, by the way, in another century. And Georgia Harkness said, it is easier to praise Jesus than to follow him. Amen. You know, Jesus didn't go around to the disciples and say, praise me, praise me, praise me. He said, follow me. And you know, when I think when Jesus said, follow me, I'm going to step out on a limb here. I don't think he had any idea where he was going. And that's the power of it. If you and I are going to follow Jesus, we're not going to have a clear map of the future. We're going to have to trust, as it says in the psalm. Number one, to follow Jesus, we have to be radically centered on God. Radically centered on God. That was Jesus' gift. He calls these disciples, I love the ones, they're mending their nets. You know, doing some of the boring work besides fishing, you know, they have to mend their nets. And he calls them to a great adventure beyond anything they've ever known, beyond their comfort zone. They had to let go of their agendas, everything familiar, and let God take them somewhere for God's purpose. I watched the movie Boyhood the other night, and I won't spoil it for you, but I'm going to tell you a little vignette in that movie that is about a mother and her two children and the struggles of modern family life. Patricia Arquette stars, and at one point in the movie, she needs some repairs in her house, and there's a young Hispanic man and who's showing her the broken pipe, and he's covered with dirt, and he's trying to help her understand what she needs to do for her house. And something happens, and she steps outside of her role then as a consumer buying a service. And she shifts, and she looks him right in the eye, and she says, young man, I'm a teacher, and you need to go back to school. You're smart. You have gifts. She said, follow your dream. That's it. Fast forward 5 years later, she's in a restaurant with her kids. Life has been difficult. She's questioning her motherhood. She's questioning her life and its meaning. And a young man steps up to her table and he said, Hi, I just wanted to say thank you because 5 years ago you changed my life. He said, you said, go to school. And I did. And I'm the assistant manager of this restaurant. And I'm learning the restaurant business. And I'm following my dream. Thank you, he said to her. You know, if you center yourself on God, lives are going to change. Your life is going to change. And even if you doubt that sometimes, it's amazing. I have seen so many lives changed. And not only that, but in MCC, we get to change history too, don't we? Not only lives and history. Where else can you do both those things together with passion? I think about Troy Perry, you know. In the days and months before he founded MCC, when he tried to take his own life, you know, and he lay in a hospital, and someone whose name we will never know, whose identity we will never know, looked at him and said, look up. And he said, from my Pentecostal background, that meant to look to God, look to Jesus. And he said, it was the turning point in my life in that moment. Someone had spoken God's favor to me right in that moment, to my heart. Someone centered in God who looked at that young man, didn't know a thing about him, didn't know that he'd do something that would put all of us in this room today. Can you imagine 40 years later from this church? That one woman, what she did, look up, she said. Look up. And it changed his life. Secondly, Marcus Boris says, you know, Jesus was not only radically centered on God, but he was a healer and a teacher. And I always think that there was healing in Jesus' teaching and that there was teaching in Jesus' healing. And that they were really the same thing in many, many ways. And I love Marcus Borg said that he had an alternative wisdom, which means he disrupted the messages that people were getting in their day. Does that sound familiar? You and I came to disrupt a lot of messages that people have gotten in their own churches. Jesus said, you have heard it said, but I say to you, you know. We say that every day here in Metropolitan Community Church. You have heard it said somewhere, maybe in a church you grew up in or a televangelist on TV or somewhere. You have heard it said, but we say to you today, God's love and grace and power is available for you. And he said it with authority because Jesus taught it from the heart of God. There was that fresh anointing of the Spirit. And when you have a fresh anointing, healing happens. Healing of hearts, healing of minds, healing of bodies. You know, there's nothing more important, Pastor, than you can do, church, than connect somebody's heart to the heart of God. Because if you've done that, everything else can flow from that. You know, church culture, as we've known it, may be collapsing, but people are hungry for good news. People are hungry to believe that it is possible to be connected to God. You know, we have same-sex marriage in Florida today, but on my way to work every morning, I pass more than a dozen churches, none of which are doing same-sex weddings. And I don't know when they ever will. I don't know. There is a divide still in our state. All is not perfect because, thank God for the court system, we have same-sex marriage in Florida. And now in Alabama, oh my gosh. I say Alabama, too. But friends, there's a lot of work to be done on hearts and minds and in our institutions. Finally, Marcus Borg said, Jesus was not only radically centered on God, a teacher and a healer, but he was a movement initiator. I love that. A movement initiator. He took action. One of the most defiant actions that Jesus took was that he ate and drank with sinners. And in Jesus' day, sinner pretty much meant ordinary or poor person who couldn't afford to participate in the temple rituals. People who felt like they were unworthy to be connected to God in some way. I always think Jesus ate and drank with sinners because they were more fun than the other kinds of people. I think Jesus struggled with religious people. And I always wonder that religious people don't get that when they read the Gospels. You know, that the origin of the open table we have at communion is in the open table fellowship that Jesus, radically centered on God, ate and drank, socialized, laughed, loved people who other people thought God couldn't love. Oh my, does that, you know, that's not MCC. I don't know what is, you know. In the very earliest days of MCC, I think the play Men of La Mancha was probably playing on Broadway or something, and one of the big songs was Dream the Impossible Dream, you know. And that became an early favorite in MCC in Los Angeles. But I think of that one line in that song. You have to be willing to march into hell for a heavenly cause. You remember that? March into hell for a heavenly cause. Jesus Christ did that, you know, and invites us to do that. If you haven't seen the movie Selma, go see it. You'll see what marching into hell for a heavenly cause looked like only 50 years ago in our country. Thinking about what it took for those people to confront hate, evil, and violence, and confront it with love and nonviolence, risking their bodies and their dignity relentlessly. We in MCC, we are heirs to Selma as well. We are in that struggle for more and more diversity and inclusion. I think about that. Whenever we go to the margins, whenever we go to those who are powerless, we create movement. We create more and more open tables. And there's all kinds of hell we can march into today. There's hell of loneliness. There's hell of fear. There's hell of addiction. There's hell of powerlessness. All those still exist. There's hell of theological abuse that happens in our world. And God has called us to be a movement. Beyond even our denomination, beyond the limits, as you've said, that unlimited nature of God, to be a movement. And I wish three things for you for your next 10 and even 40 years. First of all, that fresh anointing that I feel is here, that I know that God is doing. Because of that fresh anointing, you are growing. I love coming to an MCC 40th anniversary where the church is full and growing and knows it, that you know there's momentum here. And your message is as relevant and timely today as it has ever been, if not more so. And it is still dangerous in some very good ways. Number two, I want you to be a fountain. And a fountain of leadership. I know that there are people in this room that have a calling to ministry in MCC. People have a calling to full-time ministry or to a tent-making ministry, who have a calling to service in their church and beyond their church as a layperson. So I'm calling you out today. I'm calling you out today to say it's never too late. I know that. I'm looking at you like Patricia Arquette looked at that young man, and I'm saying to you, live your dream. Some of you had a dream about ministry that got, and your heart got broken. Or you thought it could never be for you. That's not true. And today, it is possible. God has something for you to do. You got to stop mending your nets. Put down those nets. Be a fountain, King of Peace. Last but not least, you must be the heart of God for your community. When people think of King of Peace MCC in this community, they're going to think about, oh, that's the place that has a heart full of love, for love and justice. If you are the heart of your community, and that word community keeps growing, who that includes, amen. If you are the heart of your community, God will bless you into another 40 years. Will you pray with me? God, right now I ask you to touch people in this room who know that you're calling them. I pray for every member and friend in this place that they will find their ministry. I pray for the strength and courage of the leadership of this church, that you may be a fountain, that you may have a fresh anointing, and that you may be the heart of your community for a long time to come. Amen.